prayer to change the things I can.
Listen to our Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Is there anyone here tonight in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would just like to welcome you by first name. If you're on Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody will chat with you. Anybody in the room first 30 days?
Hey, Wesley. Welcome.
Glad you're here.
Nice. Awesome. Anybody else? It feels like one more. Just getting the vibe. Nope. At this time, please silence your cell phones. I need to do that because I'll be the guy for sure. Also, we respectfully ask those present to please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. The foreword to the book Alcoholics Anonymous states, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we're sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. This evening, y'all are in for a treat. We are discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have Albert and Aubrey. So I will read the first paragraph on page 84, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. There's only three paragraphs in step 10.
Yeah.
Page 84. This thought brings us to step 10. But hold on, sorry. Step 10 is continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And in the book where we read the promises, it finishes with these will always materialize if we work for them, right? Everybody's heard that. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. The lady's choice. Would you like to go first?
Albert already gave me the look, so that means I have to go first.
Okay.
So it's okay. Hey, everybody. I'm Aubrey. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Aubrey.
The last time I found it necessary to take a drink was June 17th, 2019. I love a lot of the book, but I love this part of step 10. I think it's so interesting that it's only a few paragraphs, but it's so powerful. The fact that at this point, I've commenced a new way of living, right? But I have to continue to take personal inventory because new mistakes are going to crop up. It's progress, not perfection, right? Like the ninth step promises and in other places let us know that I'm going to have to continue to grow. So every day I have to look at like what is sucking at my roots that's preventing me from growing. And I like this line, it should continue for our lifetime. You know, when I started in the program, the thought of being sober forever sounded terrible. It sounded miserable. Not only did you want me to not drink, you wanted me to talk about not drinking forever. That sounded like the most miserable thing of all time, right? But by the time I get to step 10, I realize, number one, that you guys are not a glum lot and that this program works. And I've started to have a real relationship with a God of my understanding. So it's a whole lot easier and less daunting to understand that as things crop up, I have to continue to make progress for the rest of my life. And honestly, it's very freeing. It's not daunting anymore, you know, and I feel like there's like two little mini steps here in step 10, right? I have to, when, not if, these issues crop up, I have to ask God to remove them at once. So that's step one. I have to immediately ask God to remove them. And then the next step is I have to discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly. And then turn my, and really there's a third part in there. So I was wrong. There's three parts. Right. Cause then I have to turn my thoughts to someone else. And that was very difficult in the beginning because I was the most important thing, not only in my world, but in all of your worlds as well, whether you knew it or not. Mm-hmm. So being able to turn my thoughts to someone else, again, it's so freeing. Something that in the beginning of the program, I thought impossible. And it just isn't. It's freeing if I let it be freeing and if I follow these steps every day. So, like I said, it's just watching for that, what's sucking at my roots so that I can continue to grow is mm-hmm. pretty amazing feeling. That's all I got. You're up.
Thank you. All right. Hey, y'all, Albert Alcoholic.
Hey, Albert.
My sobriety date is October 13th, 2019. My home group is AA 101. And I have a sponsor, been through the steps a couple of times, have the privilege of sponsoring some other folks, and have a couple of service positions in home group and at an AA service structure. So step 10, it's interesting on the way here, I was thinking about this, like this, actually this year, I've had a different experience with step 10 than I have in the past. So I have the privilege of being a part of this little like step study group, big book study group that meets every Saturday. And this past year, we've gone through the big book. And during that, I've learned a whole lot about the steps more than I think I understood to begin with. And also about like the practical application of them. I think before that, I was still under the impression that like when it came to step 10, if I like pulled out my journal at nighttime before I went to bed and answered the questions like, was I selfish, resentful, dishonest, and made some notes to myself and then prayed about it, that that's what doing a 10th step was. And then, you know, if I saw something come up, you know, more than once, you know, maybe a couple days in a row or a couple times in a week, I might pick up the phone and call somebody and talk to them about it. But that was like the extent of my step 10. And I really thought I was doing it. Going back through the big book this time around, some things really stood out to me that kind of changed my experience with step 10. One is that it says, you know, we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes. That's important to me because it's not, you know, when I first go through the steps, I continue to do it at that time. Like, oh, I'm at step 10 now. I'm going to do another mini four step and clear up whatever else has come up in the, you know, past couple months since I've done an inventory and now I'm done. Like, no, this is something I'm going to continue doing every day for the rest of my life. Like as Aubrey pointed out, you know, like I'm not promised that I'm going to turn into some perfect person because I've quit drinking. You know what I mean? I'm far from it. But if I want to stay away from the drink, I learned that I have to continue practicing the spiritual principles of this program and using the tools. One of the biggest ones is taking this inventory. So it does become a way of living for me. Something that it took me a while to understand this when I first came to AA. You know, I came in thinking that, you know, I had just like this really awful problem with drinking, right? And I couldn't quit drinking on my own. Check, 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 like, you know, admitted to powerlessness and all of that. But I didn't understand that it wasn't just alcohol. You know, it wasn't the alcohol that was my problem. So as I'm going through the steps, I learned that it's the fact that I don't have the power. I don't have a connection to a power greater than myself to effectively deal with life. And through the steps, that's kind of the goal. That's the end game, is I'm gaining access to this power now that allows me to live life on spiritual terms and allows me to live a life clean and away from all the destruction and chaos that I used to create. So in order to continue gaining access to that, though, I have to continuously take inventory. If I don't, then eventually I start sliding back. You know, get resentments from things going on in my life. I get resentful at my job, my spouse, whatever. And it took a while for me to see the connection between that and drinking. And I realize now that when the junk piles up in my life and I can't see a way around it, I want to escape. And the best thing for me to escape is to get obliterated. And if I don't have an effective tool to use during that time, then I'm just getting closer and closer to taking a drink. So that's why this step is so important to me, because every day I wake up, I'm an alcoholic, and every day I wake up, I'm a human being. I like to say that because it reminds me that, like, I have the ability to mess things up. I mean, I get my day started and I forget to pray, and before like 5 minutes have passed, I've pissed off like 3 people, you know what I mean? Like, including myself. So, like, you know, it's so easy to just be a human being, but this allows me to, you know, work through that. So I think that's all I got on that one.
Thanks. Thank you both. We're going to keep going on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any effort, excuse me, without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Aubrey?
I mean, these are the 10th step promises, right? So the same with the 9th step promises. I always ask myself, like, are these extravagant promises? And we think not, right? I never in a million years thought that I would be able to be in a neutral place with alcohol. Number one, because I didn't really think that I had a problem when I came in here, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone else was the problem, not me. And so I really thought that this whole paragraph was kind of full of shit. There's no way that I could just, like, exist, that I could go to parties and be happy, that I could get through the holidays and have a good time sober. That sounded really gross, right? And I did, right? Don't tell me I'm alone. It sounded horrendous. I remember the first time I had to go to a party, a family party, and I called my sponsor. I was like, I don't understand. What do? You just, like, go places and you're just out there, like, raw dogging the holidays, like, sober. And she's like, yeah, you actually have a really good time. Go hang out with the kids, right? And I was like, people are going to notice if I'm not drinking. She's like, no one cares. Not a single, you're not that important. Which was hard to hear, but when you hear it enough, you're like, maybe. But that's why this paragraph has so many we's instead of so many I's and me's, right? So, and there's no interest, right? There's no interest in alcohol. I'm just in a place of neutrality. And that is, again, it's very freeing. Because it feels so safe. I thought that I was going to have this, like, war every day with alcohol, right? Of you know, really missing it because alcohol was my best friend, right? Like I wasn't ready to admit that in the beginning, but I really believe that the cure for everything was alcohol. And so to then not even feel like I'm swearing it off, I've not even sworn it off. Instead, it's just removed. I never, ever thought that that would be true, but I don't have to fight. I can just be. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, in the beginning, I had those dreams where I'd wake up and in my dream, I'd be drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrifying. You wake up and you're like, oh my God, I drank last night. You're like, no, I didn't. And I'm not hungover and I don't have to apologize for anything, which is pretty dope. But then those dreams happen less and less. And then every once in a while you see something on TV, you're like, oh man, I wonder what those new, I don't know, whatever those new drinks are. I bet those
true
taste good. True. Yeah. I feel like I missed out on all those cool drinks. But then I immediately recoil from it as if it's a hot flame. You know, that obsession is immediately removed. I don't feel the need to explore everything. But I know that this is only going to be true as long as I keep in the fit spiritual condition, right? I don't have to be cocky or afraid as long as I am in the book, as long as I'm talking to other alcoholics, attending meetings, continuing to work the program, because this will be taken away if I stop working it. And I won't get too far ahead because I know that the next couple of paragraphs talk about that, but that is why the 10th step is so important, because these promises will be true as long as I continue to have a fit spiritual condition. So, you know, I like that it gives me some promises, but also another warning of I could just as easily fuck this up as I had done everything else beforehand. So, you know, it's just so important to every day do something for my sobriety. And just like Albert kind of mentioned earlier, if I don't do it, I immediately notice, because you said you piss other people off. I'm pissed off at all of you immediately, because you've wronged me somehow. So if I don't pray, if I don't work my steps, then I can immediately feel the effects of it, because I'm not in a fit spiritual condition. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Albert.
All right. In neutral, a state of neutrality. I didn't know what I wanted when it came to my stance or, you know, view of alcohol when I came in here. I just knew that I thought it was ruining my life. And I couldn't separate myself from it. So I came in, and honestly, I feel like out of just that sheer desperation, just started following directions, you know, got a sponsor because somebody told me I had to, got a home group because somebody told me I had to, you know, started following directions. You know, I do pride myself in that area, you know, like a good little like schoolboy or something. I don't know. That's the thing, you know, like these are the directions. All right, I'm going to do it and get my gold star on the chart or whatever. So I was doing all of that. It's interesting then to like do these things and then to stop and look back and think, holy crap, like look at the progress that I have made. Look at what's changed in my life by doing the suggestions, the actions, you know, outlined in this program. And one of those things is to realize I'm no longer obsessed with alcohol anymore. Like I see it in the store. I remember I was like in Food Lion or something, and you know, they have the one aisle where it's like the alcohol on one side and then the like the greeting cards on the other. And I was down there getting a card for somebody, I guess, I don't know. And I like get the card and I turn around and I'm like, oh, there's alcohol. And it was like, it was so weird because I felt like it was the first time I had actually noticed alcohol in months. And it just happens. And that's just one small example of the miracles, the magic, you know, the promises that happen when I do the steps in this program. And a lot of it is, this was hard for me. A lot of it doesn't make logical sense to me up front. You know, I'm reading the steps and I'm reading the directions. I'm sitting down with the sponsor, I'm going through it. And I'm like, but I don't understand. She's like, just do it. But I don't understand. And I want to drag my feet. And then I do it. And I'm like, oh, there it is. Turns out she was right. You know, the promises that are written out here really do come true. So yeah, you know, one day I just realized I had this neutral view of alcohol. And as Aubrey pointed out, you know, at the end of this paragraph, it's a clear direction and a warning. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Again, I understand now how my spirituality and staying connected with my higher power is how I'm able to live a sober life today. Without that connection, I'm going to turn to something to help me deal with life. And instead of turning towards God, I'm going to turn towards alcohol. You know, I don't know if that's going to happen, you know, 5 minutes when I leave here, tomorrow, 6 months, hopefully never, right? But it tells me right here, the chances of that happening increase significantly if I don't stay in fit spiritual condition. I have to do these things on a regular basis. I don't always want to do them, but I understand self-knowledge avails us another. I understand that I need to. Sometimes I still drag my feet. A lot of times I still do. But yeah, that's all I got for that. Thanks.
Thank you both. Continuing on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Aubrey?
I don't even know where to start with this paragraph. Well, just kind of like we talked about, it's so easy to let up on the spiritual program. And it really is easy. If I'm not paying attention, you know, I'll go half a day without praying and wonder why I'm so angry. And I like this alcohol is a subtle foe. You know, the fact that somebody once told me alcoholism is the one disease that constantly convinces me that I don't have it. Right. And that was really powerful when I heard that, because you know, I didn't understand, like, how can a drink have that much control over me? But I'm not cured of alcoholism, right? I'm going to have it for the rest of my life. And I can either die with this disease or I can die because of it, right? I never lost a job. I never got a DUI. I never went to jail. But all of those things were absolutely in my path had I not gotten sober, right? And I have to remember that I am not cured. You know, one of the things newcomers are always, you know, so exciting to see, because you guys help us way more than we help you. But also it's the old timers when they leave and then come back. That's always, that hits home really hard when I hear somebody like, oh, well, I was sober for 8 years and then I went back out. I was sober for 10 years, or, oh, I'm on my second 5 years, you know, because at any time I can let alcohol win if I do not maintain the spiritual program. And that's kept me holding on to this chair for dear life. I never wanted to sit in a metal folding chair so bad, or come hang out with you guys on a Monday night, you know, but it is a subtle foe. And if I'm not paying attention, then I will die of this disease. And I have a daily reprieve. And my sponsor always makes me define words. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a pain in the ass that way. So, just kidding, I love you. So the word reprieve, I wrote down, it means to delay the punishment of. So as long as I'm not drinking, I am delaying the punishment that I absolutely am going to find myself in. And that's what that was. Every time I drank and didn't remember and had to apologize and swore it off forever, you know, all of that, I was just still, I'm delaying the punishment. And it is only contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Every day is a day where I must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. You know, life gets lifey. Again, like we talked about, it's not just going to become sunshine and rainbows. I was having a tough time at work a few years ago. And every day when I would park my car before I walked into work, I think every single step I would say, thy will, not mine, thy will, not mine. Because that was the only way I felt like I could get through the day, you know, but also had you gone, you know, 6 months prior to that or a year prior to that, I never would have been talking to God, hanging on for dear life, mind you, but still the fact that I'm talking to God, instead of drinking was a massive step because of this program. So I have to constantly maintain those thoughts because if not, the punishment that I've been delaying by that daily reprieve is going to come back full force. And like I've heard so many others say, you know, I'm not going to pick up drinking where I left off. I'm going to pick up drinking as if I never stopped drinking. Mm-hmm. And that's a terrifying thought because I was wild as hell. So I can't even imagine where my alcoholism would be if I had kept drinking. And it's very, very terrifying. And I don't want, because I'm in that part of neutrality, I have no desire to go back to that. I don't, you know, I came into this program thinking that I was going to do my 12 steps. You were going to give me a certificate and I was going to be cured. And that obviously isn't happening. I have to do this every day to get my daily reprieve. But now I want to be a part of this program, right? I want to come in here. I want to talk to others. I get so excited. And like I said, that's baffling to want to nerd out over a book that was written almost 100 years ago by a bunch of old white dudes, right? Like that, it's awesome. I get so pumped up. So as long as I'm maintaining my spiritual condition, the sky is the limit. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of this program.
Awesome. I was pointing out to Aubrey this line as I was like preparing, because again, you know, I am a nerd, and I printed out the readings and made myself notes because I want to be prepared. I got to this part. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? This is the paragraph that's on the step. So this line, it is easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. I actually had someone in my sober family ping me a minute ago when we read that. She must be online and laughing because they know that this is my least favorite line of the book. And so does my sponsor. Because rest on our laurels, man, I love to do that. Like, that's all I want to do. I've actually been joking around the past couple of days that, like, after I get off from work, all I want to do is just go home and do this. Like, I just want to like lay in my bed and stare at the ceiling and be lazy. And even after being, you know, in the program for some time and experiencing all the gifts and the experiences and the growth from doing these actions, a lot of times I still have to fight myself to do them. I wish that part was easier for me. I do. But it's not it, you know, and I'm okay with that today because I recognize that this is progress, right? As long as I continue to show up and keep doing the things, I'm where I need to be. But I do love to rest in our laurels, or my laurels. And I realized from my experience though, that I start to get, I can start to feel it now. And I think we're going to come up on this in the next part. I can realize, I feel when I'm getting squirrely, if you will, you know, when I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, it's kind of like that moral compass that I had before gets built back in. And that's my cue that, like, maybe I'm not doing the things I need to do. Maybe I do need to, you know, pray more or call or do an inventory, et cetera. This part where it says, how can I best serve thee, thy will not mine be done. This is a good reminder for me. And I should probably start reading this again on a regular basis, because my default is always that my will is, and my ideas are the best. I'm the most intelligent one. I'm the best at my job. I'm the better spouse. You know, I'm the best son ever, all these things. And so I got this, you know, my ideas are top notch. I'm good to go. But all of that unaided by God and a higher power will cause destruction and chaos all around me. I mean, it's been proven to me time and time again. So I do need that direction from God, you know, to carry out their will over my own. There's something else I wanted to say about this. Oh, you know, when I do rest on my laurels, I've had the experience of having two relapses since I came in. I came in originally in 2017, 2018, I relapsed, 2019, I relapsed. And in both of those situations, I can see now where I wasn't in fit spiritual condition. And in that moment, what I wanted was I wanted connection with the people around me. I wanted to feel a part of, and I wasn't turning to God for that. I wasn't practicing the tools that are so clearly laid out and shared in this program. And instead of reaching for those because I wasn't in a good spiritual condition, I reached for alcohol and other substances. It does happen very quickly. I mean, from 1 minute to the next, I'm looking at my cup thinking, how in the world did vodka get in here? And knowing exactly what I did, you know, like the gravity of that situation. But it happened so quickly that if anything, those experiences alone should be enough to underscore the severity of the disease, you know. Thank you.
Right. 20 seconds. Aubrey reminded me of something. I was thinking about my very first sponsor. I didn't get sober that time, but I've been in a couple of weeks, and I remember asking him, how long do I have to go to meeting? And I really wanted an answer to that question. And I really thought there would be an answer to that question. And then he said, you have to go to meetings until you want to go to meetings. And I just walked away thinking, is there someone intelligent I could talk to?
Yeah, who's in charge?
There was no path that I could imagine where I would want to be here. We're going to continue on. I think we're still on page 85. It's not marked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action.
So I have written down here that the sixth sense is faith. And also that faith is the only sense that can grow. I can't really increase my sense of smell or my sense of taste. Although both of those things did get better when I stopped drinking. I didn't know how much I was killing those senses.
And quit smoking.
Sort of. So, it's overrated. Again, it's another thing that's baffling to me that I'm going to sit here in front of you guys and talk about faith and really mean all of these things, because that sounded so cheesy when I first got sober. Like, your faith, and it's going to grow every day. I'm like, okay, weirdos. And, right, like, just give me my certificate so I can get out of here from this cult. And it's so true, right? And it's shocking, too, that no one had to shake me to believe all of this, right? That I just had to follow some simple suggestions. And go to meetings until I wanted to go to meetings. And now I can't think of anything more exciting to do than go to meetings and hang out with my sober family, right? They have become my closest friends and family that it's just, again, all I can say is it's just so freeing, every bit of it. And every time I can follow these directions and make sure that I am listening to the direction of my higher power, and only my higher power, not myself, because I absolutely will try to take control. But when I listen to my higher power, I will always grow in faith, because I'm much more willing to be, you know, aware of my surroundings, to be a part of my surroundings, to just exist instead of trying to control. I didn't realize, you know, when I was drinking, how much I was trying to control everything. Everything would be fine if you all just effing listened to me, right? And if everyone did what I told them to do, this would be a whole lot simpler. And so, you know, that was one of the excuses I gave myself of why I was drinking so much, is like, because I can't, none of you will listen to me, right? I had a million of them, a million excuses, but I don't need to control anything because I'm not in charge. God's in charge. And once again, that is super freeing, because when I don't have to be in control of everything and I can just exist, I will always say it's like finally being able to take a breath of air and truly fill my lungs up. I was never able to do that while I was drinking because I was holding on to all of this stress, right? Because I was I was lying constantly, right? I was trying to be in control, and it was just stuffing everything down. And so by letting all that go and letting God be in charge, I can breathe. And, you know, I get to be a part of my family's lives. I get to just watch my children grow. You know, I got sober early enough that as long as I continue to not rest on my laurels, I love you, then, you know, my children may never remember me being drunk. And that's a really special thing. You know, I know that not everybody is that lucky. And so I have to be grateful because I didn't do any of that. I didn't get sober thinking that I'd be a better mother, right? I got sober because I was worried if I didn't, my husband would catch on how much I was drinking and take my children away from me, right? But the fact that I got sober when I did, like, these were all things that God had put in my path, right? And I just needed to shut the F up and listen, because now that I've brought, you know, God into my life and can finally breathe, everything else is going to be fine. There's still going to be drama, and half the time I'm going to create it, right? But as long as I'm listening, you know, and thy will, not mine, be done, I'm going to find a way to get back to neutrality, right? And continue to grow in my faith. And faith for me doesn't just mean faith in a higher power, right? It does in some small sense, but it also just means faith in humanity, right? Faith in being able to be tolerant of someone else, faith in, you know, that everything is going to be okay, even if I'm not in charge, right? It's faith in so much more than just my higher power. And like I said, there's nothing more freeing in the world than being a part of this program. Something that I was highly against, you know, and then when I felt like, okay, I'll do this thing, I wanted my gold star. Not only did I want my gold star, I then wanted to beat you at getting your gold star, right? Like, I wanted a bigger gold star on my chart at the end of the day. And now I want everyone to get a gold star, right? I want everyone to be able to have this program, because the power that's contained in here is like nothing else in the world. And it's so clear. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. That's it, right? If I followed the directions between pages, you know, really, it doesn't even start with the steps until, you know, there is a solution. So from there until page 85, I've already started to feel my higher power. Again, I keep just repeating myself because I'm in awe of the program every single day. I'm in awe every time someone celebrates, you know, a week of sobriety, 20 days of sobriety, you know, a year, 10 years. Every day is a miracle, because I could absolutely see my life going in a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it didn't, I'm so grateful. And I'm so thankful that you're all here as well. And we just have to keep holding on to our chairs for dear life, because I'm not letting this one go. That's all I got.
Thank you. So as I was reading this tonight, the word carefully stood out to me. If we have carefully followed directions, and I think I had a little bit different interpretation of it when I read it for myself. What that means to me is have I done it the way it says to do it, not the way that Albert wants it to say, not the way that Albert thinks it should be done, and then wonder why I'm not getting the results that it's promised in here or all the freedom that Albert's talking about. I got two bold stars, actually.
Two bold stars.
Sorry. Next time. I have to lose, you know, and it definitely does not happen all at once. You know, like, as it says, you know, to some extent we have become God conscious, you know, it's like chipping away, you know, at stone for me, as much as I wanted this to happen overnight. And as much as I still do want it to happen overnight, I have to recognize that it's these little pieces that keep getting chipped away from me. And I get like a little trickle, like of this God consciousness coming in. And, but that only happens if I set aside my ego and my pride. And it comes back to doing inventory, right? Step 10, what we're talking about here. If I want the gifts of this program, I have to continue discovering what is blocking me to get access to my higher power, to that love and power. I do that by asking the questions you know, the worksheets or wherever you do, you know, your inventories from. But by taking those actions, then I can see what's blocking me. I clear that channel, I get access to love and power, and then I can channel that. I can share that with the people around me. And that's how I start to get exposed to that God consciousness. And it's funny because, again, my mind has such a hard time wrapping itself around that. I'm like, I should be able to know these things, and then I do them. But it's the opposite. I do them, and then I know them, and then I experience them. I do the inventory. I see these things become apparent to me. I ask God to remove these difficulties. I help somebody else, and then I get the gifts. Then I get the connections that I so much longed for before coming here, and I didn't realize it. I was thinking about a conversation that I had with my sponsor recently, actually. Because, you know, again, talking about having a different experience with step 10 this year, and doing them more frequently, not daily. I hope to, you know, at some point get to that, but, doing 10 steps more frequently, and the more I do them and the more I have conversations and I listen and actually, you know, pay attention, to what people share with their experience with it, I realize like how much more there is to me for me to learn and grow and hopefully have God help me out. And my question to her was, does it ever get to be too much? Like, is it ever daunting that constantly working on ourselves? And her response was, no, it's exciting. And she looks at it as an opportunity that, you know, more will be revealed. Like it says, you know, and I don't love the cliche sayings, but, that by continuing to do these things, we get closer to our higher power. We get to learn more about ourselves. We get to continuously grow. And you know, like it says in the literature on the step, you know, my goal here is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I do that by continuously peeling back these layers, finding out what makes me tick, and getting closer and closer to God. And that changed my perspective on it, because sometimes I do feel like it's a lot. I'm like, man, you know, I've made my peace, if you will, that I'm not going to be cured of my alcoholism. And then I get faced with, and now you really get to do this every day, you know? Now I can see, when I stop and I look back, I can see all the blessings that I've been given every single day. But if I'm not doing that, the thought of doing this every day seems to be too much. But, you know, when I can talk to someone else and they help me to realize that, like, that's actually exciting, you know, that to be able to continuously grow. Like, if I wasn't an alcoholic, if I wasn't an AA, I wouldn't be given that gift, you know? And as I grow, like Aubrey was saying, I get the opportunities to share that with other people. And I get it. I get more and more excited. You know, I'm like, still, it kind of like, I don't know, surprises me, like how like souped up people can get, you know, for like helping other people in the program and stuff. And I'm like, man, I really want to be that person. And I was just talking to my sponsor yesterday about geeking out that I met a new person in the program and seeing how excited they were getting with the developments in their life being sober. So it just goes back to Albert is over here. Just set all that aside. You don't know everything. You're not the end all to be all. Just do these things. Surrender to this program, do the actions. All of this will come true, and I can, you know, be put in a spot where I can share it with other people and help them to get what I've been given. So thank you.
Thank you. We got a couple of minutes left. If either of you maybe thought of something that you'd like to,
I mean, I'll talk all day about the big book, but no, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to give you. All right. Hey, we're going to pass these baskets. What are those baskets? Those are the seven tradition baskets. What's the seventh tradition? The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements for the good of AA?
I have one. Hey, y'all, Albert Alcoholic. Yeah. So my home group is AA 101. We meet Sundays at the Sentara Norfolk Hospital in the Brick House Auditorium area. Our anniversary, we're celebrating on January 26th.
Bacon?
Yes, sir. There will be bacon there. At 10 a.m., we're going to be serving breakfast. And at 11, we will be having our meeting with a speaker. So please come join us. That's January 26th, starting at 10 a.m. Bacon.
All through the holidays, if you tune into tidewaterinnergroup.org, that's a website. There are things happening all over Tidewater. You don't have to be alone during this time. Our group, Simple Actions Group, where we all find ourselves tonight. Somewhere over there in that little white box are these cool winter blue flyers, these little paper flyers that talk about our next event coming up in January 13th, which is Monday night. It's a supper and a speaker. We're going to have Shannon S. from Locust Grove, Virginia, is going to come tell her story at the regular meeting time. But at 6 o'clock on that night, we're going to have a potluck right here in this room. Potluck means bring something, but it'd be cool if on your way out, if you grabbed some of those flyers, took them back to your groups and helped us pass the word. Everyone is welcome at that event. Supper and speaker. Thank you. Anybody else? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Lost my place. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Or if you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside, if we provided it, and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audios, audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. There's an app for that. And the meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Cafe Stella, right there on Colonium. In closing, could we thank our wonderful panel again? Thanks to James and Jake and Travis for setting this meeting up, giving us a place to all come. And Travis has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164.
Hi, everyone. My name is Travis, an alcoholic. Hey, Travis. A vision for you, big book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in the morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass from you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the record of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you all. Let's circle up.
Help be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Death is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.